This is Still Standing with Michael Caputo, episode 31. Coming up on today's show, Reportapalooza and Page 61. All that and more on the way on Still Standing.
No talking points, no spin. It's politics you can't put down. This is Still Standing with Michael Caputo.
Hello, welcome to Still Standing with Michael Caputo. This is Michael. Thanks a lot for tuning in. I really appreciate it. If you're looking for more of these episodes of my weekly podcast or the videos that I put up on a regular basis or the blogging I do, check out stillstandingpodcast.com. That's stillstandingpodcast.com. You can subscribe to a weekly email that alerts you when the podcast is up. You can also check us out on Patreon, where if you want to support this work financially, that's very cool. But I want to get right into it today because, of course, this is a huge, huge day. Yesterday was a huge, huge day. With the release of the final report of the Office of Special Counsel, what everybody is calling the Mueller report, the public release with redacted remains inside, there's a lot of changes going on. Let's go through this for a minute, okay? I got to tell you, I'm still reading it. I'm pretty far along. I printed this thing out. I am going to read every word. It's the least I could do since Robert Mueller and his minions listened to all my telephone calls, read all my emails, and read all of my texts without telling me. Since they spent all that time reading all my emails about yoga and grandchildren, the least I could do is read their report, right? That's the least I could do. I'm fairly well informed on this. I understand which way this report is going. I understand two things in particular. Number one, there was no collusion. I don't think that the Mueller team ever really, Robert Mueller didn't think that he was going to get to collusion. He knew fairly early on that there was no collusion. They were still driving at the question during this entire investigation, but they knew that collusion wasn't going to be something they could hang their hat on. So they had to develop another narrative, which is, of course, just like any other investigation, it's not the crime, right? It's the cover-up. So the investigators, Weissman and others, who are veterans of this squeeze play, they call the federal investigation, these guys, they knew that if they squeezed in the certain parts and the right parts of the White House, that in fact maybe they could inspire the president to obstruct, inspire the president to cover up whatever they were investigating. The fact of the matter is there is no collusion. There was no crime. And in the end, they could not charge a crime for obstruction either. But what the Mueller team did, the 13 out of 19 of the prosecutors, all very strong supporters of Hillary Clinton, donors, former Clinton Foundation lawyers for minions of Hillary Clinton, 13 out of the 19 prosecutors in the Mueller investigation were all stalwart Hillary Clinton supporters. So, of course, as they wrote this report, they were going to leave little landmines in there, or as I've said on television a couple times, a trail of breadcrumbs for ravenous Democrats in the House of Representatives to follow in the obstruction perspective in order to be able to perhaps impeach the President of the United States. They wanted to do that with collusion, of course. I mean, if you on Twitter, on social media at all, if you're reading anything, if you accidentally turn on MSNBC and watch Rachel Maddow, you know that every single one of these radical leftists thought that the real crime here was Donald Trump was a Russian asset. In fact, they're still saying that. They can't get off their drugs. Somehow Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is a Russian asset. Laughable from the beginning, but they were on that. They thought that the presidency of Donald Trump was going to be ended because they were going to discover that he was under the control of Vladimir Putin. That was never going to happen. But, you know, still they tried to cross that river from the investigation to impeachment or to get rid of the president. And every step of the way on the collusion angle, they drop another rock in the river for another footfall, for another footpath, so they could eventually walk across the river on rocks that they've placed there. But, of course, they only made it about halfway. there was no collusion. All of these rocks they were walking across the river on were too shaky. They were never going to get there. Rather than get wet, they turned around and went back. And they did the same thing with obstruction. They found small stories of an angry president, small stories of testimony from some attorney or something like that, right? And each day they put down another rock to cross the river to impeachment. This time they got further than they did with collusion, but they didn't get all the way there. That's why the Mueller team decided that they could not come up with, you know, a decision on whether or not the president should be prosecuted for obstruction, so they just left it there. They got, instead of halfway across the river, they got two-thirds of the way across the river, or three-quarters of the way across the river. So now they've left enough rocks in that river so that the Democrats in the House can almost get to impeachment. And you know what they'll do, because they can't help themselves. House Democrats will walk out on those obstruction rocks across the river, getting almost to the other side, and they'll jump in feet first and swim to the other side, because they think they can stretch it from the last rock of fact all the way to impeachment one way or another. It doesn't really matter. They can stretch the meaning of high crimes and misdemeanors, and perhaps set up some kind of impeachment play with these bogus obstruction stories that were told like little breadcrumbs, a path to impeachment in the Mueller report. That's my opinion of this. In general, that's my opinion of this. Now, there are some things I have in there specifically. I was on page 61. I want to talk about that. I'll do that in the next segment. But right now, I want to talk about what I believe is next. The Mueller report is out, right? I'll talk about what that means to me and my family in the next segment. But what does it mean to the president? What does it mean to the Democrats? First of all, I think it's incredible. The most important part of this report is the president can say no collusion. He's saying no collusion, no obstruction. I understand why he's saying that. But the report did not clear him of obstruction. It laid a path for the Democrats to do something about it in the House of Representatives. I disagree with the president on that. But I think the president will be able to fight his way clear of obstruction. I think the charges, the stories, the idea that he tried to stop this investigation is bogus. You know why? Because the investigation completed it. Because Mueller made it all the way to the end. Because Donald Trump didn't fire Rosenstein. Right? He fired Comey, which is his right as president of the United States. He did not do it in order to shut down the Mueller investigation. How do you know that? Because the Mueller investigation wasn't shut down. And also, there's the question, of course, if there's no core crime, meaning collusion, how does he obstruct anyway? But, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I don't want to get into that. I'll get hit from all sides by the lawyers at CNN that I sit with on panels. If I try to opine on the law, I'm just here to tell you that every lawyer that I respect who's been involved in federal prosecutions, whether they're your U.S. attorneys or assistant U.S. attorneys or et cetera, they all tell me that the president cannot be found guilty of obstruction with the array of evidence, quote unquote, that the Mueller investigation laid out there. It's a good story. It's a good political case. And that's the important thing here. Number one, no collusion. It's over. That entire angle is dead. And if you're sitting here trying to tell me, well, they didn't reach a legality, they never were, the Mueller team couldn't prove it, it is an ethical lapse, it's something the president should be impeached upon, blah, 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 get over it. You lost your collusion song. Get over it. You're not going to get it back. It is over. It was all a bogus setup to begin with. It was all a hoax. So get past it, Democrats. I know that there are people out there that can't let go of it. Unfortunately, some of them actually have weapons. And I have to be careful because of the death threats that have increased in the recent days against my family, because the craziest of the crazies are the ones who are going to hold this bogus Russian hoax up as some, you know, horrible proof of the president being controlled by Vladimir Putin. They're going to be the last ones to hold on to it, the craziest of the crazy. And, you know, people like me who are witnesses in this jackpot, we have to be sure that they don't have weapons, and if they grab weapons, that we don't die. Because that's what happened when Hodgkinson attacked Representative Scalise. And I'm afraid the nuttiest of the nutty are going to think that they're increasingly isolated as the sober people who were buying into this Russia hoax walk away and say, you know, obviously, that the Mueller investigation couldn't find any collusion. But the obstruction, that's what it's all about. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, as I said in my podcast last week, you are going to watch them flip the script. It happened yesterday. If you listen closely, it was like an orchestrated change of direction. Maybe a conference call in the morning or something. I don't know. The Democrats, the Never Trumpers, everyone has flipped the script. If you are in on this whole thing, if you aren't some guy in his mom's basement, you know, shining a shotgun, believing that the president is a Putin puppet, you know, worried about the direction of this country because of the Russians. If you aren't one of those nut jobs and you know that you're only using this for political purposes like they have been all along, you are flipping the script from collusion to obstruction today. Of course, I don't believe the president committed obstruction. Of course, they would never have been able to make some kind of criminal accusation stick. But impeachment is political. Impeachment is about high crimes and misdemeanors. And guess who gets to define what a high crime or a misdemeanor is? The majority in the House that considers impeachment. That's the Democrats. They would define jaywalking as a high crime and misdemeanor. They will try to impeach the President of the United States. I know Nancy Pelosi is saying it's not going to happen. I know Steny Hoyer is saying it. I know even Representative Nadler, who was secretly conspiring to impeach and was caught doing so on the Acela train from New York to Washington by Muriel Hemingway, who writes for TheFederalist.com. Check out her story from November 9th, 2018, as he explained on the train in a loud voice how he was going to impeach the president as chairman of the Judiciary Committee. They are going to do it. It is a metaphysical certitude, ladies and gentlemen. Count on it. He will never be removed by the Senate. They will not find him guilty and remove him from office, of course. But the Democrats are going to impeach the president of the United States, and I'm going to give you a small indication of why. Of course, every single person in the Democratic Party now, especially the ones who believe in the Russia hoax, have been convinced that the president is not fit for office and they want to remove him. They remove him by any means necessary. The only legal one is by impeachment. And they have dreamed of this, even though Pelosi, Hoyer, Nadler, others have said, oh, impeachment is out of place. It's not time to talk about that now. Let's see the report. This has always been the plan. Pelosi says, oh, impeachment is a little too much. We should walk away from that. She is planning impeachment. The charges have already been filed. And here's the thing you need to understand. The two committees that come to mind immediately are Jerry Nadler's House Judiciary Committee and Adam Schiff's House Intelligence Committee. Both of them were going to focus on the Russia collusion angle. You know, Nadler contacted me and 80 other Trump supporters and said he wanted documents. I didn't have any of his documents, but his lead attorney tried to talk my attorney into presenting me for testimony. I'm not going to go back for a fourth time to testify to the same questions under oath, telling truth every time. I'm not going to do it. But that's where Nadler was focusing. But now Nadler, as the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, has a huge piece of the obstruction play. And this is the one that they know now from the Mueller report is the only play that will get them close enough to the other side of the river so they can stay as dry as possible when they take that leap into the water and have to swim the rest of the way. That's where they're going. Nadler's going to grab it and run. I don't think Nadler's even going to continue in the Russia sphere. But Schiff, you know, Schiff has no piece of the obstruction play, no piece of it at all. You know, Schiff is all, you know, he's Committee on Intelligence, right? That has no piece of obstruction. I think he's still going to be focused on Russia. That's all he really knows. So I expect the Russia stuff will continue with the House Intelligence Committee. House Judiciary will focus entirely on obstruction, and they will move toward impeachment of the President of the United States. The results of the hearings that the House Judiciary Committee has, the testimony from people who they call in and parade through there, the people who have been listed in Volume 2 of the Mueller report, They will take the conclusion and make conclusions from those hearings, take the scripts and take the testimony, and bolster the charge of impeachment. That's where this is going. Mark my words. I'm not kidding around. I mean, you should be really skeptical when you hear any Democrat say we should not impeach him. Schiff and Nadler, the reason I bring them up, what do they have in common? They're white, old, male people of the Jewish faith. Old white male Jews. Old white male Jews. That is those are four strikes with the freshman class of the House Democrats. Four strikes. Old white male Jews, they do not like any of those people. We know that. The arguments over Ilhan Omar's anti-Semitism, all of the white privilege arguments, the apologies out of the older presidential candidates like Joe Biden, I'm sorry I'm old, I'm sorry I'm white. The freshman class of the Democratic Party does not like old white male Jews. They just don't. They're not popular. And the two men in charge of the most important committees in the oversight of Donald Trump are old white male Jews. And they are going to do whatever it takes in order to stave off a primary like Joe Crowley had in New York City, where he lost to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. What did AOC do yesterday? She signed as a sponsor on impeachment. So watch as these old white male Jews move toward impeachment in order to stay in sync with their base, with the freshman class of House Democratic Socialists. That's what's happening here. Watch. Collusion. The collusion script is flipped. We are now on to obstruction. The old white male Jews in charge of important committees are going to assuage the base, and they're going to move toward impeachment all along the way, pretending that they're not. And then one day, something will happen that makes them scream, at least in their inimitable fashion of pretending to scream. And that day, everyone will pretend to pivot to, we must impeach. It'll be lockstep. It'll be coordinated. It'll be as coordinated as the flipping of the script to obstruction. Watch, ladies and gentlemen. I know this stuff. You should too. But I want to tell you more about my personal impact of the Mueller and the final report from the Mueller investigation right after these messages. It's Michael Caputo. You're listening to Still Standing with Michael Caputo. That's on radio.com as well as stillstandingpodcast.com. Still standing.
Please remain standing. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Michael Caputo again on Still Standing. That's stillstandingpodcast.com. And also you can support us at patreon.com, catch us on stitcher.com, iTunes, wherever you want to do it, please do. I'm also on radio.com, very proud of that. Very happy to be one of the featured podcasts, political podcasts of Entercom and radio.com. And, you know, we've got a lot of people that support us on Patreon. We consider them executive producers. I want to thank our executive producers, Richard Hallen, Eric Hegland, John Seifert, Susan Havey, Thomas Fulton, Darcy Swenson, Sonia Carlin, George Noonan, and Steve Flaminio, Daniel Markey, Samantha Lynn, Jack Bromwich, Jordan Gostomski, Susan Stevens, Jerry Brown, all our executive producers, including Patty Freeling, Bill Grant, Greg Mumbach, Mark Berry, Jan Geen, and also at the same time, I want to thank our executive producers, Roberto, Julie, and Rachel. You all are very, very important to us. You know, I'm not very good at this technology stuff, actually. My producer, Sean Dwyer, helps out a lot. And when you support us financially, you make sure that I'm able to pay for all of this. Eventually, this thing will have advertising aboard, I'm sure. That's why we create these breaks in between segments, because at some point in time, we'll drop in some kind of commercial for, wart remover or whatever it might be. But right now, it's just me and Sean and your contributions at patreon.com. Thank you very much. So the Mueller report is out. Yeah, it is. And I'm reading through it, of course. I'll read every word, as I said to you in the last segment. I think a lot of people will. I think it will be eventually a New York Times bestseller. A lot of these reports sell very well. That's why you find people like the Washington Post and others grabbing the text and just putting a foreword on it and publishing it to make a few bucks off of you for stealing a free report and putting it out in a convenient form and charging you an arm and a leg. But on page 61 of the DOJ version of this report, there is yours truly. Page 61. It's not a surprise that I'm there. I'm a really marginal player in this. I wasn't a central figure in the campaign. I ran the New York State primary for President Trump, and then I came aboard the national campaign, but I tried to land in the midst of a political fight between Paul Manafort and Corey Lewandowski, the two campaign manager types. Manafort was trying to land me as director of communications. I never really got my feet on the ground. Corey was in a real brutal battle with Paul, and I was kind of a pawn in that game. But, you know, I eventually went to the convention as head of communications and left the campaign even before the convention because of a disagreement. Left before all of this even happened, you know, all of the accusations of Russian collusion. I remember when the first accusation came out, orchestrated stuff right out of the Hillary Clinton press release shop, accusing me and four other people, including General Flynn, of being the president's connection to the Kremlin. I knew it was all going to go to shit from there, of course. I was watching it as one by one by one. You could see the planted stories. You could see the Clinton Incorporated cabal moving very quickly, making that dossier hot as hell. And then the Obama team doing what they could to weaponize the national security apparatus to spy on the Republican candidate for president of the United States. I watched as all this unfolded. And I knew when Rosenstein appointed the Mueller investigation that it was designed from the very beginning to impeach the president of the United States. As the only person on the campaign who ever worked for the Kremlin, I worked there 7 years in Moscow and also worked in the White House. I actually worked for George H.W. Bush, number 41, and never really spoke about Russia in the Trump Tower. I had more contacts with Russians than anybody else in Trump Tower combined, all of them. I was always going to be in this jackpot once the appointment of Mueller came around out of the Rosenstein operation. As soon as Senator Sessions recused himself from any investigations into the campaign, I knew I was cooked. I knew I was in the midst of this jackpot. I knew that I was going to be absolutely buried in legal fees. I knew that there was going to be, character after assassination after character assassination in the press. I knew it was going to come. I was just going to have to manage it. And, of course, in the end, I'd be in the report. Page 61, it is no kidding. And, of course, it covers Russian Henry Greenberg's call to me asking if we were interested in any dirt on Hillary Clinton. A Russian living in America called me and offered dirt on Hillary Clinton. I kind of deflected him over to Roger Stone. I was leaving the campaign, had no role in opposition research. I was going to the convention at the time for a role there. I wouldn't be even in the mix of opposition research. Roger, who had left the campaign 9-10 months before, you know, still was more apt to be interested in opposition research because that's kind of what he does. So I kind of deflected the guy to Roger Stone, my best friend of many years, and what a terrible thing to do to Roger. What a terrible thing to put him even more in harm's way by introducing him to a Russian. But none of us knew it. None of us thought that Hillary Clinton and the Obama national security operation were setting the president up for a bogus Russia hoax. None of us knew. There was no way for us to know, of course. But in the end, I was always going to be in this report. And there is a story about Greenberg coming to me, calling me, being deflected to Roger Stone. Roger Stone telling him to hit the road. We have no interest in your information. End of story, right? The Mueller report says that there was no indication that any of this, you know, interaction had anything to do with Russian interference and dismissed it. But what's very interesting here is that nowhere on page 61 did the Mueller team note that Henry Greenberg was working for the FBI at the time. Because that's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Henry Greenberg was, in fact, an FBI informant for 17 years. He lives in Miami Beach. He is a convicted criminal, 10 years in prison in Russia, 3-plus years in prison in America for gun crimes, living somehow on a visa, not a citizen, in Miami Beach. How did that happen, right? No way a convicted criminal, a former prisoner in Russian prison would ever be given a visa to come to the United States. We weed those people out, but he's there. He's there today, dining al fresco in Miami Beach. He's here on an FBI, what they call an informant visa, a Series 6 visa. In fact, I prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can go to DemocratDossier.com, DemocratDossier.com/dossier, in fact, and you'll find that I hired after it became very clear that something fishy had gone on, I hired a private investigator. We have federal court documents, sworn affidavits that state that that Greenberg was an FBI informant for 17 years. It's not a rumor. It's a fact. It doesn't require proof. It has been proven. In addition, we have copies at DemocratDossier.com. We have copies of 14 of his FBI informant visa waivers. And on those visa waivers, most of them, is the name of his FBI handler, their titles, you know, super secret agent, right? And their telephone number in Miami. There is no question that Greenberg is an FBI informant and was for 17 years. No question. It's an absolute fact. And yet, the Mueller team left that out of page 61. Imagine that. How mischievous is that? I'll go a little deeper. In the Mueller report on page 61, they say that I disagreed with the witness, with the statements by Henry Greenberg. Henry says that I was there when he met with Roger Stone and that I said I was not. Now, I can tell you this. The Mueller investigators asked me about this when they interrogated me on May 2nd, 2018. They showed me texts from my phone that they had. I didn't give them. They had them. So clearly they had a warrant for my phone. And in that text, they showed and they knew and they proved that I was in Trump Tower when Roger Stone met with Henry Greenberg, the Russian FBI informant. That meeting amounted to nothing. Roger Stone told him to hit the bricks. But the Mueller investigators knew that Greenberg and I had not been in that meeting together. They knew that for a fact. And yet they said in their report that we merely disagreed, leaving it open to speculation as to whether or not Michael Caputo was telling the truth about whether he attended that meeting of the Russian with Roger Stone. Complete crap. In fact, at that moment, when Henry Greenberg insisted I was there, the Mueller investigators could have arrested him for lying to an FBI agent. He was clearly interviewed by the FBI on July 18th, 2018, after I talked to the Mueller investigators in my interrogation about him. It's right in the report. They interviewed Greenberg. He lied to them. They did nothing. Not only did they not arrest him for lying to the FBI, he's still on their payroll. Remember when Steele lied to the FBI, Christopher Steele of Fusion GPS fame, lied to the FBI about talking to the media? They bounced him immediately. So we have the Mueller investigation, which is mischievous enough to leave out convenient facts to make it look like something might have been going on with Michael Caputo and this Henry Greenberg character and Roger Stone. Bullshit. right? Not only did they leave things out so that we could, you know, use the grand jury system to create some kind of subterfuge and doubt about a citizen that was nothing more than a witness. Not only that, they didn't have the decency to bounce Henry Greenberg for lying to them. He's still on their payroll down in Miami Beach. So if they bounced Christopher Steele because he lied to them about talking to the media, why did they not bounce Henry Greenberg for lying about me being in the meeting? Why is Henry Greenberg still today working for the FBI? Why is he still in America on an FBI informant visa? Why? See, if they would be so mischievous with the unredacted stuff on me on page 61, well, let me say this. If they had redacted, had written about Henry Greenberg being an FBI informant, even if they said he wasn't working for us at that moment, he had taken his lunch hour on his own time and gone to talk to Michael Caputo in the hottest investigation going on in the Department of Justice of the day, the hottest investigation in decades, he decided just to do that on his own time, right? Clowns. Even if they had just put in that and then redacted it so nobody could read it, I would have been, okay, look. There's some black ink here. It's got to be about Henry Greenberg being an FBI informant. He clearly is. We have chapter and verse on him. Instead, they omitted it. And an omission like that, it's mischievous. And as somebody who is on the margins of this whole report, on the margins of it, if they do that to me, what were they doing to people who had a much bigger role to play in the report? How mischievous were they being with, say, for example, Sarah Huckabee, who has beaten up on this investigation on a daily basis from the pulpit at the White House Communications Office? Do you think that you can rely upon the information they put in there about Sarah Sanders? Do you think you can rely on that? I can tell you this as someone who, through the sins of omission, was spun up by the Mueller investigators, that you cannot count on what they said about Sarah Sanders. You can't. You can't really count on anything in this report. You have to assume that there is omissions throughout it for political purposes, not for investigatorial purposes or to protect sources and methods, but instead, to create subterfuge. That's not, come on. It's really quite something when you think about it. It's really quite something. The idea, you know, in this country, we don't engage in grand jury proceedings and probes with the purpose of generating innuendo. We don't do that. Let me say that again. In America, we do not engage in grand jury proceedings and probes with the purpose of generating innuendo. Note what wasn't in the report. The dossier got some kind of little bit of exposure, but we know the role of the dossier in this thing. I know the role of Henry Greenberg in this thing. There are holes throughout this report designed to create innuendo. Now, look, I'm vindicated by this in that they were very careful to note that this had nothing to do with Russian meddling in our elections. That this just seems to be a one-off. We're an FBI informant. They won't call an informant. Wanted to just try and make some money off of Donald Trump. That's what they're saying there. No matter if it's a lie or there's an omission in there, and they don't want to admit that he's on their payroll, whatever. I'm vindicated. My family's vindicated. We can move on. But this report was written with political purposes, ladies and gentlemen, with political purposes. I mean, it's a politically commissioned investigation. It's really something. They use this whole unvetted authority of the Obama White House and its national security to eavesdrop on a political campaign in the guise of national security. And Carl Bernstein doesn't even care, right? All the media figures who sealed themselves off from challenge and questioning and dissent, who just fed their audiences what they wanted to hear without ever having to confront their critics, they created a journalistically unhealthy and corrupt bubble that fostered this error, this groupthink, and all these conspiracies. And the Mueller team took that to the report level. They laid stones across the river. They dropped little breadcrumbs along the way so the Democrats can follow their political path to impeachment via obstruction. Understand that, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's happening here. Go to democratdossier.com/dossier and dig into the 140 pages and look at the FBI visas, the informant visas, with the name and unredacted telephone number of Henry Greenberg's handler, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't get any clearer than that. I can tell you with that evidence alone that this report is political. It is designed to create innuendo. The Democrats will harvest the obstruction innuendo, turn it into dozens of hearings, run Trump associates through those hearings at great cost and damage to their family, just like the Mueller investigation, ruin those people financially so that they can get almost to the shore, almost across the river, and then leap and swim the rest of the way to impeachment. That's what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. You know it, and I know it. And I'm not just the only one here on Still Standing talking about it. It's being talked about out there all over the place. This script has flipped from collusion to obstruction. The report, the Mueller report, is political and filled with innuendo that abuses the entire grand jury process. But I am vindicated, as are the old other 40 families caught up in this bogus Russia hoax. But now we have to deal with the tail wagging behind this thing of obstruction, equally bogus. I guess we will. I'm going to go right to the mailbag here. I got a nice note from Greg Mumbach, who's one of our executive producers. I'm not going to blow my own horn, but I really, you know, this has been a rough road to hoe, a tough road to drive along with my family. I mean, it's been a difficult time, and I appreciate the kind words I get in the mailbag at Still Standing Podcast. stillstandingpodcast@gmail.com. Greg Mumbach says, Michael, I agree with you about obstruction becoming the new target for the Dems, but I don't feel as strongly that they're going to impeach. We'll see. I'm happy to see that finally there are official investigations beginning to dig into the campaign spying or surveillance, Greg says. It's a synonym. Greg knows it. That whole FISA warrant fiasco needs to be brought out into the open, along with the Clinton bot dossier that was used to obtain warrants. And how about her illegal email server and all the destroyed evidence? I hope it all gets exposed and proven with facts. Greg closes with, keep up the good work. Hope you feel better. Thank you very much, Greg. I really appreciate it. Listen, I didn't think we were going to have any investigations into this Russia hoax. And then AG Barr said he thinks spying on a campaign is a big deal, and he's going to check into the spying and make sure it was predicated properly. I don't think it was. I know a lot of my listeners don't think it was. I think this is a politically commissioned investigation. And if they're really going to look into it, I'm happy. But I got to tell you something, Mr. Mumbach and other people. I have reported Greenberg and two other people who I think approached me suspiciously in 2016. I've reported them to the Department of Justice Inspector General, Horowitz, twice. I've reported them to U.S. Attorney Huber in Salt Lake, who's supposedly also looking into this. No word from either of them. Nothing. So if we are indeed investigating the origins of this Russia hoax, I have no faith in Huber and Horowitz. It's got to be A.G. Barr. He needs to put this together, whether it's a special counsel or a full-blown Department of Justice investigation. It cannot be the Inspector General. It must be a Department of Justice criminal investigation. I'll tell you what, Greg, if they do that, we may get to the bottom of this, but otherwise, we are stuck. And up until now, I thought we were stuck. Up until Barr said as a by-the-by in that hearing, well, I got to check into this spying. Let's check into it. Let's use the full force of the American government, the federal law enforcement resources that were turned on President Trump, and investigate the investigators. Let's go. Let's do it now. Well, that's it for me today. Michael Caputo for Still Standing. I really appreciate you sticking around, listening in. Remember, check us out on patreon.com if you want to drop a few dollars our way. And also, you can hear us on radio.com. But if you want to check some of the old videos and blogs and podcasts, you can always find us on stillstandingpodcast.com. This is Michael Caputo in the wake of the Mueller report, vindicated and getting ready for Easter. Christ has risen. You have a great day.